21-day fast of social media. I know that my Facebook has not lit up with some of you guys recently, and I know that you guys, some of you must be hungry for social media. So what we are going to do, just I'd like you to turn to at least two people and do your best impression of your favorite emoji. You know, there's all kinds of emojis. There's hamburger emojis. There's hot dog emojis. You know, I know you've been missing. Oh, there we go. Doug's got his happy hands emoji up. All right. I was joking with someone just a few minutes ago about, I haven't seen you on for a while, so now am I going to be all lit up and it's going to be all kinds of crazy on Facebook. But I'm excited about this morning. This, I will tell you, was a struggle for me. God worked on me on this. The lesson that I was given to teach, I felt like God redirected me in many areas, and I didn't really feel comfort with it. I didn't feel at ease with it. And one thing that God has given me over the last few months, and as I move forward in ministry, as I move forward with everything that's going on, one of the things that God has given to me is one word, and it's hope. And he started talking to me about hope, and I started thinking about faith is the substance of things hoped for. And without hope, it is impossible to have faith. Hope is a precursor to faith. If you don't have hope, you won't have faith. And sometimes what we have to do in when we're ministering to people and when we're talking to people, we don't have to worry so much about building their faith as we do building their hope. And if we start building hope, God is going to move into faith. You know, I am going to turn my phone off. The reason I do that is I am on call, and they are calling me right now. So give me just a moment. I'm actually going to power my phone off and let whoever else would maybe take over for me take over. All right, so I apologize for that. So I do have a clock here that I can't read, so maybe about time if someone would throw up a hand and go from there, that would be good. But back to hope, when God gave me what he gave me today, I said, God, this doesn't feel like hope. It doesn't feel good. I put hope sometimes as to, oh, I'm just going to feel better about it. And, you know, it didn't feel right. It didn't feel good. I should say it didn't feel good. It did feel right. But God, we're going to talk a little bit about God's plan for each of us. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." If we live, we will go through hard times. That's not a potentially it will, potentially we won't. If we live, we are going through hard times. Every one of us has had, maybe are having, or will have a very difficult period of life that we are going to walk through. And that is just reality of being on this earth. I don't think there's anyone in here that will be excused from having difficult times. Now, my difficult time may translate into a different type of difficult time than what you walk through. But there are some things in our life that every one of us will walk through at one stage of our life or other. One of those is loss. We all are going to lose someone we love, and eventually we're going to lose our own life. That is the reality of this life that we walk in today. We are going to experience loss of life, loss of love, loss of friends, loss of family. And it is not pleasant. It is not something that we like to go through. I know a few years ago, not long after I'd started the church here, when I lost my mother, and it was an expected loss. It was a loss that we know puts her in a better situation than the suffering she was doing with the Alzheimer's and with different things in her life. I was surprised at my reaction to the loss. For something that I had prepared or thought I was so prepared for, something that I thought was so good of a situation for Mom to be taken and be with Christ, I was surprised at my reaction. I became very, very agitated. I became very stressed and on edge, and my emotions, I felt like I couldn't control my emotions, and at work, I would over-respond to a situation. And looking back on it, and that's the benefit of many situations we go in, is we don't know some of this that we're going through, but looking back, I could see the loss, the grief that was in my life affecting other areas of my life. I was surprised by that. But the reality of it is, we are all going to walk through hard times. Loss is inevitable. And it may not just be loss of someone that you love. It might be loss of a career, or loss of health, or loss of any sort, whether it's a financial loss. I have a very, very close friend that was making hundreds of thousands. He was making over $500,000 a year, had a situation happen, he lost it. He's working for $11 an hour and struggling, lost everything in his life, what we would see. And you know what? It's affected him. It's a loss. So there are all kinds of losses. And we are inevitably going to have loss in our life. Doesn't this sound like a message of hope? That's what I'm saying. Doesn't it just sound like hope? Dr. James Dobson wrote a book that when I worked at Focus on the Family, we had to read and be able to respond to, but it's simply entitled, When God Doesn't Make Sense. And you know, there are times, in our opinion, God just doesn't make sense. I've got this all the way it should go in my mind, and I don't understand what God is doing. Or, you know, here's the interesting thing. God, and I'm jumping ahead of myself here, God does not always do, but God always allows. Okay? We get this loss in our life, and we think that God is tormenting us with it. There is not always, but there are sometimes, that God puts this in your life. But if he is a sovereign God, if he is an omniscient and an omnipotent God, how could he not know this was happening? How could he not be there? Well, he knows. He's there, and he allows. But why? We walk through things and face things that sometimes makes us feel that God has forgotten about us or doesn't seem to line up with the promises that we hear in the Word. If we examine ourselves sometimes, however, we can begin to see what God is trying to accomplish in our lives. Self-examination is a skill that will benefit us in many, many areas of our life, not just in our walk with God, but in my career. I have to self-examine. We have to write our objectives for the next year, and then we have to examine, well, what did I do to meet that? What do I need to do? What area do I need to work on in my life? And it's the same thing. Self-examination will benefit us in many areas. But what will benefit us even more is actively seeking God's examination and asking him to examine us. Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24 says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Why am I tying self-examination with things that we are going through, with problems that we are addressing? We're going to cover, and I've only picked up seven, there may be more, but there are seven reasons or facets of tough times that we are allowed to go through in life. Some of these seven, well, they are all very basic. Some of them are from God, and some of them are not from God. That's just the reality that He allows it, and we don't know why. But maybe if we knew why we were going through it, it would make it a little easier to go through. You know, there are some things that I've had to do that, okay, this is the action plan, here, 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 and when you get done, it's going to be all this over here. This great project is going to be finished. Our life is going to be better because we won't have to come in and have somebody call us on the weekends, you know. If I know what it is, Brother Jamal, that I have to do, and I know why I'm doing it, sometimes it's a little easier to take the long hours of working at night to do it. Sometimes if I have that understanding, but if I don't have that understanding, it gets a little heavier. So if we know some of the things why God is allowing some things in our life, sometimes it's a little easier to walk through it. Sometimes the length of the trial or the problem that we are going through is directly related to how long it takes us to understand why we're going through it and to respond to it. The more we understand, the faster we understand what God is trying to do in our lives with it, the quicker I can move to the next phase. And I'll explain that a little bit further in a moment. So here are some of the reasons for hard times. The very first one is simply life. Life, the Bible says, time and chance happen to us all. We are walking in an imperfect life. We have situations that we go through in life that we've had no control over, that there is nothing we can do about it. Now, in all of these situations, and in the original lesson that I had started here, we go through life with a purpose, and God has a purpose for it. And sometimes we get the cart before the horse a little bit. Sometimes we think about this problem that I'm going through. I'm going through this so I can help somebody else in the future. Yeah. That's what we think is our purpose for going through that problem. But that is not the purpose of the problem. The purpose of the problem is something that you are just walking through. Now, God will use your experience in the problem to help someone in the future. Do you understand some of that difference? He is not allowing us to go through some of the stuff right now just because of the future in most cases. There are some exceptions, but most of the time, the experiences that I am going through are simply because life happened to me or some of these other reasons. But then He will take these experiences that I had no control over, and He will begin to minister through me in the future. Okay? The losses that I have experienced in my life, He allows me to relate. There is one thing. When you walk through something in depth that life has handed to you that you had no control over, it hurts. But you also develop this relationship with people that have walked or are going through similar things. One thing, if you have never been able to have a child, if you have had the struggles and the tears of day after day after day that turned into weeks, it turned into months, turned into years, wanting to have a child, But you couldn't. What happened? It's not something we did. Life gave us this problem. But from that problem, God created amazing beauty. And we are in a situation right now where I would not trade a single hour, a single day, a single tear that was shed because of that problem, because of where God. So when we talk about this, and this is where hope is coming in, when we go through these problems that you may have had control over, you may not have, God is going to take that and he can build the most beautiful, abundant, glorious life. The peace that comes, the love that comes after you have transferred through that and you have gone through that. That problem never went away. That pain always exists. You know, that in my situation, God never chose to answer these prayers in the manner that I wanted them answered. Okay? It did not get an answer. I didn't understand it. But the beauty, I would never trade ever for what I went through. So God can take this pain and begin to move it into great beauty. As we walk through things that we do not have control over, there is an opportunity for great faith. Now, faith has a balance of trust and lack of understanding. So the more understanding I have, so I trust God. I like to say that, and at times it's true. I trust God completely, and I'm working on it. I trust God completely. But do I have faith in him? Well, if I have complete trust in him, and I'm going through a situation in which I have full understanding, we talked about earlier, that's not counted as faith. I trust him, and it's good. It's good that I'm trusting him, but it's not really counted as faith because by definition, faith is having trust without understanding. The less understanding I have in a situation, but if my trust remains high, that is counted as faith. Now, there are situations where I did not have faith and I did not have trust and I did not have understanding, and God would at that point allow me to have some understanding to build my trust. But then he humbled me, Brother Bibbs, because I didn't have faith. Okay? There was a prayer that I've been praying for years. I was praying. It's something in my life that I struggled with. And God, why did you let this happen? Why? And he finally got tired of me. I was getting resentful to God. I know none of that happens to you guys. I was there with times I would go through and God would say, or I would say to God, well, you'll do it for everybody else, but you won't do it for me. I have faith for Sister Sharon. She's going to get healed, but it's not going to touch me. Okay, so I began to whine a little bit, and I began to just, I'm the only one here doing that, right? But God begins to work in me, and I begin to resent him because he didn't answer this prayer. You know what he did? He showed me a defect in my character, and then he said, if I would have answered that prayer, you would have a life of sin today. There are times where he will give us understanding, but it's not counted as faith. But it will help you build trust. So if you have an area you're struggling in, that you just say, there's two things. You say, God, help me have faith in you. But if you can't do that, maybe he'll give you some understanding. You won't have that counted as faith or counted as righteousness, but you'll begin to trust him more. I jumped ahead a little bit here. Another, and for me this is very real, another thing that we go through hard times with, we talked about having just life, but we also go through hard times because of our own actions, my own decisions that I've made in my life. Galatians chapter 6, Verse 7 and 8 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I've got problems in my life that I put there myself. I've got problems in my life that God has allowed me to walk in. Some of them I've not even walked through, that are of my own doing. The reality of it is, and a few months ago when I taught about reconciliation, I brought up the point about separating my situation from my salvation. Okay? Because you are in a physical situation, we often begin tying these things together. And we begin to think of ourselves, well, God has not saved me or delivered me because I am still struggling with this problem in my life. I still have to battle this issue in my life. If he really loved me, he would forgive me. But our situation and our salvation are separate. We can walk in salvation while we struggle with some terrible situations that he may or may not choose to deliver me from. There may be a sickness in my life that he chooses not to deliver me from, but he has chosen to save me and to let me walk in newness of life with him and to affect the people around me. There is a difference between your situation and your salvation. You cannot always tie those together, but sometimes you can. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. God will allow us to prepare before life happens to us. And this is jumping back to life or even our own situations. There are things that you can be doing. There are problems, and there are problems from life. We already established that life happens, right? But there are some problems in life that are compounded and that are worse because I didn't prepare for them. What is one of the ways, the best ways to prepare for a very difficult time? The Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron. It also says that if two walk alone long and one falls, the other one can help him back up. When you are in this fellowship with believers, develop a friendship with someone. I talked about this, if any of you were in life group Friday night, and you got to see the nice video of me going on there and always looking down at my notes. So today I did make a point not to look down at my notes too much, and I'm already off them. So, but become a friend with someone. Because when life gets rough, it is easier to go through these rough areas when you have a true friend in your life. When you have someone that you can talk to, someone that can pray for you, someone that can give you correction, give you mentoring. Develop the friendships now. Not because you want them to just drag them through a problem, but develop it now. And when you deal with things in life, developing that kind of relationship and that kind of friendship really does make a difference. The next area that God, in this case, God will put in our lives, God will strike us, and I'm using that word very deliberately, in our lives, is when a call to repentance. Is your desire, so in this reading that I've been doing lately in the Old Testament, I've seen many times where God sent them into captivity. God sent them into areas where they were beaten and they were made into slaves. And God said it was him that did it. Why? Because they turned from him. and he was trying to draw them back. Psalm 90, verse 7 and 8 in the New Living Translation says, "We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins. You see them all." A reason that God would send some problems into your life sometimes is just trying to get your attention. Just trying to say, you want to go play with other gods? You want to have something else before me? Let me show you what I can do. And God gets angry. Oh, he didn't get angry in the New Testament. He's only a God of love. Well, let's see. He took a whip and started beating and turning over tables and pushing people out. He got angry. He said he is a jealous God. He is a God that is going to be protective of his people. And if his people turn away from him, he's not just going to sit back and go, oh, well, they didn't like me. He's going to fight for them. And some of that fighting is going to make you uncomfortable. Some of that fighting is going to be, well, let's read Isaiah chapter 42. Starting at verse 18. "Listen, you who are deaf. Look and see, you blind. Who is blind as my own people, my servant? Who is as deaf as my messenger? Who is as blind as my chosen people, the servant of the Lord? You see and recognize what is right, but you refuse to act on it. You hear with your ears, but you don't really listen. Because he is righteous, the Lord has exalted his glorious law. But his own people have been robbed and plundered and enslaved, imprisoned and trapped. They are fair game for anyone and have no one to protect them, no one to take them back home. Who will hear these lessons from the past and see the ruin that awaits you in the future? Who allowed Israel to be robbed and hurt? For the people, it was the Lord against whom we sinned. For the people would not walk in his path, nor would they obey his law. For therefore he poured out his fury on them and destroyed them in battle. They were enveloped in flames, but they still refused to understand. They were consumed by fire, but they did not learn their lesson." That's a sad statement right there. They could hear it, but they wouldn't really listen. They just refused to turn. Sometimes my stubbornness towards God prolongs the situation that I'm in. God is putting some things in my life, and he has done this to me. He's put some things in my life that made me get on my knees eventually and start calling on him. How can we avoid that? Turn to him. Get rid of the secret sin. How do we know? So we don't have to live in fear of this, though. How do you know? Because now none of us are perfect. Well, maybe Brother Mark Krecha over there is pretty close to perfect. But like I said, none of us are perfect. How do we know whether we are going to get this from God or not? Well, let me, in this manner where he's calling for repentance, what is your hunger for God? Do you hunger after the things of God? Do you hunger to know him more? Do you hunger to be right in his eyes? Do you hunger, and when you fall short or you sin, do you feel the conviction of God and you want to do better? And you want to turn your heart towards him? You want to live for him, even in all your failures? We're not talking about being in perfection here. We're talking about having a perfect God being in you, okay? If you have this hunger towards God, this is not for you. It's when you lose that hunger towards God and you start thinking about other things and you start thinking about places that I can go and entertainment I could do here or what's going to occupy me there and you start becoming this lukewarm, the Church of Laodicea, and you start just getting away from God, he's going to do something to try to get you back. He's going to fight for you. He loves you too much just to let you walk away and let someone else take over. Even if that means putting you in situations that are uncomfortable, putting you in situations that may even be physically painful or life-threatening, or, you know, God loves you too much just to leave you where you're at. He is going to fight for you. And if he has to fight against you for your hard heart, he's going to get mad. He's going to put you there. But we'll talk about in a little bit later what happens when it comes back. There's a cool scripture that follows this. Another reason that God allows us to go through hard times, and this is for people that are serving him still, is for correction, or otherwise known as chastisement, and even protection. Hebrews 12, verse 6 through 11. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means that you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. I relate to that. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained this way. It's interesting to me that as a child gets older, often the discipline becomes less physically harsh. Why is that? Whether you agree or not with corporal punishment instead of capital punishment, right? Which one do I get those? There are times I think about capital punishment with children, but not often. Whether you agree with it or not, as a small child, and this is something that I learned working for Dr. Dobson, and I tried to put into life as a parent, there are times where you have to address the defiant spirit. And the defiant spirit, there's a difference between just being obnoxious, just being a child, just being childish, versus being directly defiant. And Dr. Dobson very adamantly said, you must win the battle of the defiant spirit. If it's spilled milk, it's a childish act. They should learn the responsibility of cleaning it up. They should learn the responsibility, the actions that with any responsibility of having a glass of milk, they have responsibilities of taking care of it and cleaning it up. And there are consequences for mistakes that are not defiant, okay? But when there is a defiance act, and I like to equate this sometimes to my cat. I don't know if any of you guys ever had a cat. And I'm sorry for those of you who did. Or do. I do. And it's interesting, cats just seem to have a mind of their own. They don't live the way a normal animal or somebody lives. But I don't know if you knew this, cats can be trained. And It's a joke around my house because my wife and daughter can call her sometimes. And, you know, it's like calling the dog. You know, here, I won't call Buddy right now, but you call the dog, and usually the dog come running. Well, you call the cat, and the cat's deaf. It's dumb. Now, if you open a little treat bag, here it comes. But when the cat was very young, we got her when she was very, very young. I set a rule in my house at that point that I would not have the cat in my bed messing with my sleep. I guard my sleep. So we locked the cat up in the bathroom with food, litter box, every night. And I refused to chase the cat and go find the cat, so I taught the cat to come to my call. But about once every 3 months, 4 months, for a long time, the cat would start ignoring me. And I put this as willful defiance. She heard me. I knew she wasn't deaf. So I happened to pick up anything I could, and I made as loud of a racket as I could. And if she was even close within me, she got swatted with my hand or with something. There was some corporal punishment verging on capital punishment for this cat. But even now to today, the time she would challenge me, and it repeated for quite a few years, the time she would challenge me, every time, I never let it just go, oh, I'm not going to fight. I hunted that cat until I could establish dominance. But if I'm at the house today and I call that cat, she comes. Sometimes Beth and Rochelle, she'll come for them. But they never established that dominance. And so they'll be calling the cat. It's time to come in. Time to come in. And the cat's wherever it's at. But if I walk outside and go, Princess, now. It's like a white streak coming in. But where I'm going with this is, the discipline that I had to establish when she was young became less as she was older, as this was established. And so sometimes, if we allow God, sometimes the discipline of God just seems to be harsh. But you know what? If I learn to listen and respond to his voice, all of a sudden he no longer has to discipline me in a physical manner. He can speak to me and begin to moving in my life, and I get this same crush in my spirit that he's had to physically crush me on before, because I've become more sensitive to him. So as we grow in Christ and we become more sensitive to him, he still corrects us, he still chastises us, but sometimes he can just say, you didn't do it right. I want you to be better in this area. And all of a sudden, I'm just, when he does that, what's he doing? He's purging out. The scripture says, and I think I have it in my notes here. No, actually I didn't. That he would purge through fire. And when everything was purged, what are you going to come out? You're going to come out precious as gold. You're going to come out pure. You're going to come out clean. You're going to come out absolutely of greater value and worth, and you're going to be just pristine because you've allowed him to chastise you. The final thing that I want to talk about, reasons that we go through, and this is not as common in the Bible, but it does exist. Some people go through things as an opportunity for him to show his glory. Scripture says Jesus was walking along. He saw a man that had been blind from his birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. Sometimes we want great miracles in our life. You can't have great miracles without great problems. We want to be used of God and have people see our life as a light. This is what I talked about earlier. It's not perhaps the reason God is going through things, putting us through things, but he takes what we went through and he allows us to minister to others with that. Actually, I did the refining, Job 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I'm going to skip James chapter 1, verse 2 through 8. I am going to go down to a couple pages of notes here. I told you I got off my notes early when I wasn't looking down. We're going to go to Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, the very last. We talked about in Isaiah 42, he sent them to the fire to be consumed. He sent them to the flood. But Isaiah 43, the very next chapter. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. Any of you called by the name of Jesus today? Any of you called by the name of God today? You are his. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. Whoa, he didn't say he's going to take you around the water. We're still going to go through these things that we talked about. But when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Let's stand right now. We are all going to walk through something. We are all going to go through something. But he is going to be there with you. You are not going to be consumed by it. You are not going to be drowned by it. He is going to walk with you. And when you come forth, you're going to be like pure gold. You're going to be precious. You're going to be pure. And you are going to be able to reach the world around you because of what you go through. Let's give him some praise now. God, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for your refining work in our lives. We thank you, God, that you love us too much to let us stay where we're at. That you love us so much, God, that you will use whatever it takes to draw us closer to you. We give you praise. We give you glory. You are our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Take a few minutes. Greet each other. Service will begin at 11 a.m. God bless you.